is TAN Talk, entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Ameritech Property Management, how can I help you?
Yeah, I've got two dogs crapping on my lawn. One of them is as big as a house.
Ameritech Property Management.
Okay, so my house smells like something out of a horror movie. It's like something
died. You guys sent me a violation notice in the mail.
It says my lawn is unsightly.
What the hell does that mean?
You guys think that you're going to take my house? You got another thing coming. You're going to put a lien on my house for $20?
That's right. Everything you ever wanted to know about condominium living or deed-restricted communities. Good afternoon and welcome to the Ameritech Connection radio talk show on the TAN Talk Radio Network. Do you live in a condo or deed-restricted community? Do you have issues concerning the do's and the don'ts in your community? Have you been getting into trouble with your community association or management company? Got questions but just can't get the answers? Well, we cover it all and much more right here and right now on the Ameritech Connection. Hi, I'm Mike Perez, the CEO of Ameritech Property Management and your host for the Ameritech Connection. And sitting right next to me is my co-host, the beautiful and talented Miss Sharon Van Winkle. Sharon is also the Director of Marketing for Ameritech Property Management and has over 10 years of experience dealing with these, at times, very difficult situations. So with that in mind and without further ado, here's Sharon.
Thanks, Mike. We have an exciting one-hour show for you here today, so please keep listening and call us with your questions because we have all the answers. The local number is 727-441-3000. That is 727-441-3000. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-866-826-1340. Again, that's 1-866-826-1340. Did you know that Ameritech Property Management manages over 25,000 homes in the Tampa Bay area? And that means we have a lot of experience dealing with a lot of different issues. We've been managing condominium and deed-restricted communities for over 20 years, and now we've decided to host our own radio talk show to discuss and educate you, our listeners, on the do's and the don'ts regarding community living. Oh yeah, not to mention the crazy and off-the-wall stories you're hear only on the Ameritech Connection radio talk show.
Good afternoon, folks. Today we have a very special guest, and we're going to talk about Ameritech's internal operations for all of its employees, the hiring process, employees that work directly for our community associations, such as maintenance personnel, our office staff, or how about on-site managers? What about the budget process? How does that work, and how do we effectively stay in budget for the entire year for our communities? That and much more right here and right now on the Ameritech Connection. Isn't that right, Sharon?
That's right, Mike. And with us today is our own Janice Sophia, who besides being an LCAM, is our Director of Human Resources at Ameritech. And for nearly 11 years now, she's worn many hats within the organization. She's a devoted employee, always lending a helping hand to the different departments with a deep appreciation for Ameritech's goals, the biggest being providing exceptional service to our clients. So she's here today to talk about some of those responsibilities and answer some important questions you may want to learn about. Welcome to the show, Janice.
Welcome, Janice.
Hi, Mike and Sharon. I'm glad to be here.
Great.
As one of the most important employees that you have.
Oh, I like that. The most important
employee. You do say so yourself.
I have a lot of different jobs on my plate. First of all, my official title is Director of Human Resources. I'm an LCAM manager. I do payroll processing. I do the annual reports.
Oh, you're the jack of all trades, right?
Yeah, it sounds like
I have to keep on going.
Okay.
Be quiet.
I order the coupons for all the communities. I assist other property managers with their budgets preparation. I assist them with their budget workshops. I sit in and work with the boards, and we go over each line item. I oversee the annual and budget mailings, make sure they're correct before they go out.
Okay.
And last but not least, I am Mike's, our host, personal assistant.
Oh, you are my...
That is important.
And yes. What do you do for Mike Perez?
I make airline reservations.
That's
hotel
right.
Hotel reservations.
And I'm tired of you booking me in the back of the plane, too.
Try to get him
with separate seats.
Try to get him in the front of the plane, but it always doesn't work because he gives me like 2 weeks notice for a trip.
Sometimes a little bit longer. Come on.
But, I love my job. Happy to be here and shed some light on some of the things that I do.
Yeah, we have a lot of important responsibilities at Ameritech, and all of us appreciate that.
Happy to have you too, Janice.
Yes.
Janice, let's talk a little bit about the budget process for our community associations. How does that work? I know you're really intricately involved in all that aspects with all the managers, but why don't you tell our audience how that works?
Well, every association has to have a budget. Every year they have to have come up with a budget to come up with fees, whether they stay the same or go up.
The maintenance fees.
The maintenance fees, yeah. Okay. And I love working with numbers, so I enjoy sitting down and playing with numbers.
You count with your fingers, or do
no
you?
No calculators.
Oh, okay, good. That's good. That's good. You can run out of fingers, you know.
What the budget shows is categories of expenses that relate to the day-to-day operations of the associations.
Mm-hmm.
And you take a look at how much has been spent for the year, and some of it could be higher than the year before or lower, and you take all that into consideration in projecting the next year's budget.
So you're actually taking actual actual expenses that have taken place, and, you know, let's say hypothetically you get maybe through 8 or 9 months of the budget, because you got to put the budget together, obviously, before the end of the year.
Right. Unfortunately, we can't wait until December 31st.
Yes.
Right.
So it's not average. You're taking the actual numbers.
Right.
And putting that
and then you would add them up and then average them out to come up with a budget number?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Especially water, sewer bills. You know, those are always unpredictable. So you have to just take a guess of how much has been spent and increase it a little bit for next year, and hope you come up with a good number.
Well, don't you get notices from the counties and different municipalities that maybe the utility rates are going up?
Yeah, it's usually around about, you know, 3% or 5%.
Right.
You know, so we base it on that, but it doesn't really come out, you know, exact.
So how do you calculate the maintenance fees then? What goes into that? Like you said, the cable, you just take what their current year is, what the items are, and maybe anything else that they add in there?
Well, as I said before, you take the categories line by line, and you have your list of expenses. So you take that amount that is needed at the bottom line, and you make that your assessment and for the total year, like your $400,000. And then you have to find out how the assessments are allocated in the particular association, whether it's equally.
Yeah, a lot are all equal. So you would just divide it into the number of units that they are.
And or percentage.
Or percentage, right. If there's like, you know, 3 bedrooms might have a higher percentage than 2 bedrooms and stuff like that. But that's typically, where do you find that?
In the documents.
In the documents, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
And then whether they're monthly, whether they're quarterly, semi-annually.
Well,
so then
you
take that bottom number and you divide it accordingly.
And of course, that's after you've gone through the entire budget and you've come up with what you think is a pretty good estimate as to what your total expenses for the next year is going to be.
Right, including the reserves.
Including the reserves. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about the reserves as we go forward. But
all right. What about additional income? I mean, is there ever any additional income, whether it be laundry or interest? Or?
Yep. Some associations have the additional income. It could be the laundry.
Okay.
It could be application fees.
Oh, okay.
There's a lot of turnovers or rentals, and they get $50 to $100 for each one. And so they know they're going to get, you know, could be $500, $800, $1,000 every year, so they put that towards their revenue. And some even have cell phone towers, which is a big plus because you're getting paid every month from the cell phone.
Oh, wow. People. Yeah, who would have thought about that?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's true. We do have some properties like that. But why don't you explain a little bit how that works? I mean, they literally have a cell phone on the association's property?
They have the tower so that circuits, can be, you know, come in clearer in that area rather than trying to get a line further away.
Right.
So they kind of judge it so they have the area covered.
And they pay the association.
Yes.
I imagine that's lucrative, right?
For the leasing of that land, correct?
For the lease of the roof.
For the lease of the roof. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's a good good income.
All right, we talked a little bit about earlier about reserves. I know you mentioned reserves as part of the budget, which it is. But how do you calculate the long-term maintenance requirements of a community when it comes to reserves?
Well, reserves can be complicated. Those are your capital expenses. And for those, we need to have replacement costs, okay? If a board budgets a budget properly, they put the amount of money that's needed to reach that goal or that replacement cost in the year that it's needed.
Why don't you explain to our listening audience how the straight line method works? And let's just use hypothetically a paint job that's going to last theoretically for 10 years. And it's a $100,000 paint job. That should be pretty easy from a math standpoint.
Okay, so it's going to cost $100,000. So you just painted it, so now we're going to project for the 10 years out. Mm-hmm. So you're going to put life of the paint job.
It's 10 years.
Yeah, 10 years. And then the life that's left of it would be 10 years.
Right, because that's the first year.
Right, and there's no money in there, so now it's going to come out to be $10,000.
Per year.
Per year, right, that you need to fund in there. Now, when you mention partially funded, now that means that the board has designated not to put $10,000 in, they're only going to put $5,000 in. And worry about it when 10 years comes.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and typically when they partially fund like that, what happens? A special assessment, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it comes up, and all of a sudden they need a paint job, and they only have half the money.
Yeah.
So they have to do it, and who suffers but the homeowners, and a special assessment goes out.
It's certainly a lot more complicated than that. I mean, we're trying to keep it simplistic at this point, but for the painting, it's if they do that theoretically each and every year for 10 years, then theoretically at the end of 10 years, they should have
$100,000. $100,000, right?
Right.
All right, Janice, once the maintenance fees are determined and the proposed budget is finished, what's next?
The board approves the proposed budget.
Okay.
And at our budget workshop. We love to have budget workshops.
Yeah, our boards love those workshops. Yeah.
And you are very good at them, if I might.
I am very
good.
Yes,
you are. Notice how she says, I am very good at them.
Yes, I keep them under.
That's good. She's proud.
That's the best confidence I've ever heard on
this show. Yeah, I know. You like that. Yeah.
But she is really good.
She is good, yes.
Yeah, we get compliments. Every time she has a budget workshop, our boards come out and say, oh, my God, that was so good.
Very good.
It is. Well,
what's informative?
I not only go, you know, do the line items, but I keep them on track. I mean, because if you have five or six board members there, they go off on the deep end. Oh, they're talking about landscaping. Oh, I think I want to have flowers next year. They sway away from it, and I pull them back in and get them on the line. Let's talk about this line item.
Well, that's true. You have to do that. And then you go down each and every line item, correct?
Right. So anyway, so the proposed budget that's been approved by the board gets mailed out to the homeowners. And showing them that the fees are going to stay the same, the fees are going up, or, you know, whatever. And this has to be a two-week notice. And it's by statute. It has to go out within
a week. No, 2 weeks, is that for condos or for HOAs or co-ops? I mean, or is that for everybody?
That's both. Yeah.
Okay.
There are some documents that might have a 30-day notice.
Mm-hmm.
A 15-day notice.
Mm-hmm.
So the manager really has to look at those documents to make sure that it's not some odd number.
Right. Now, most of us know the coupon. Most of us know that coupons for each individual owner is then ordered, okay? Because, you know, typically most management companies use a lockbox system and coupons to obviously facilitate the accounting requirements a lot easier. But let's talk a little bit about the coupon process and how that works.
Okay. Again, that's on my plate. After the
adoption. I think she's working me for a raise, Bobby.
I think this woman needs a raise.
I have to remember.
Forget about it, Janice. I just gave you a raise, didn't I?
I won't refuse. Yeah, several months ago.
It's time again.
You notice how she didn't say several years ago, several months ago? I think that's pretty good.
I mean, nobody's supposed to know that.
I am a good boss. I want to say that.
Yes, you are.
Well, see, look at that, Bobby. Yes.
They're both. I'm going to have to talk about myself here now.
Hurry up. Time's running out.
If I'm still there after 10 years, then something's
That's right. She's
be
been
good.
With me for 10 years. She's
10
been
plus.
Putting up with me,
yeah,
you know?
More than 10 years, yeah.
She does all my airline tickets. I mean, she makes these statements to everybody that comes in. The only thing I don't do is tuck them in at night. Is that not true?
Put them to bed.
Carry his luggage, too, on the plane?
That's my job.
That's right. That's my Sharon's job.
Somebody has to do it.
All right. Well, to get back to coupons, like I said, once I get the approved budget, so that means the meeting has taken place, the board has approved the budget that was proposed. So the manager brings it back to me, and I go and I make the coupons through our accounting system and send them off to BB&T.
So basically, once the budget's been approved and you've calculated what the actual maintenance fees are going to be, and that's, again, is going to be whether it's all equal, depending on the number of units,
right,
or if it's on a percentage basis based on what the documents say, you know, like we talked about earlier, whether it's a three-bedroom or two-bedroom or what have you.
Right.
And then you're going to determine whether it's monthly, quarterly, semi-annual, or annual assessments.
Mm-hmm. Well, that would be all on the budget.
Right. That's going to be all on the budget. Then you're going to order the coupons at that point, and there's going to be individual coupon tickets for each month, whether it's monthly or each quarter, whether it's quarterly and so forth.
Right, for each homeowner.
And then those coupons are then mailed out to the individual homeowners.
Right.
With the approved budget.
No, the budget, they've already gotten the budget.
Okay.
So just the coupon book.
Just
goes
the coupon.
Directly from the bank.
Okay. So a couple of times you've mentioned lockbox. Could you just tell our listening audience, what is a lockbox?
Okay, a lockbox is what the bank calls, you know, where your payments go.
Okay.
And everyone has a coupon, and on this coupon is like a barcode, just like, you know, when you go shopping, there's a barcode.
Identifies that homeowner.
Everything. Yeah. So this is scanned, and your payment is actually scanned for your payment.
Right.
And this is transmitted to our accounting department. The girls will, it's every day or every other day, they can download all the transactions that have happened during the day for those payments.
Okay.
And it's automatically generated directly into their account.
So let me just kind of walk this through. If a homeowner writes a check made payable to the association, they mail it in, With the coupon, yes. It goes directly to BB&T.
BB&T, right.
It automatically gets deposited into the association's account.
Right, the operating account.
And then Ameritech at each morning is integrated with, obviously, BB&T and with our accounting system, uploads that information, and it posts automatically into the association's account.
Correct.
And reflects on the bank's
by the, all the code numbers. So the girls, you know, don't have to manually, post these payments. It's just automatically generated.
Well, how important is that? Because I think most management companies have a lockbox system in play.
Probably.
And if they didn't, what would they have to do?
Oh, they have to manually post each check. And we have, thousands and thousands of customers. And, we'd have to have a person just do that.
Just to do that.
Well, I think we've got 25,000 homes, Bobby, so I think we'd have to have more than just a person do that. We'd have to have, and then the tellers at the banks would hate us because we'd be going there with tens of thousands of deposits every day, right? So lockbox system is very vital to the operation of a community association.
Technology.
Yes.
Everything's technology now.
Right. Now, let me ask you this, Janice, real quick. Is direct deposit or auto pay, an option for owners who would like to pay their maintenance fees? Let's say somebody doesn't want to use the coupon. Somebody like Bobby, you're probably old-fashioned, right? You like to write out checks like me.
Oh, yeah, just run right after another.
Well, seriously, that's what I do. I'm still old-fashioned. I still have my flip-top. So so I write a check
you
out
mean
every...
your cell phone?
Yeah.
Well, I deposit them the old-fashioned way, and I use BB&T, too, so I'll be behind you in line.
Yeah,
so.
Well, BB&T is a good bank.
Yes,
there's no question
they
about
are.
It. Yeah. Now, but I write a check out and send it into, with my coupon. But if somebody didn't want to write a check, is auto pay or...
Yes, that's very
or some
very
of the other
popular
options?
It's very popular.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's talk about some of the options that are available.
Well, auto pay is frequently used because, you know, people are lazy now. And, you know, with the all the automation, they don't want to go into their account, write checks, or go into their banking account and have to sit there and check off, okay, pay this, pay that, right. pay that. So a lot of people do this automatic withdrawal, and this is one of the services for your maintenance fee. And so what they do is they fill out this form, send a voided check along with it, and they're all set. And it, this is taken out on the 3rd of every month.
Okay. And what about online bill pay?
Online bill pay, I mean, the same thing. I mean, if you go into your bank account and check off, okay, pay this, pay that, it's the same thing.
No, you don't need a coupon.
That's available.
For that, right?
No, as long as you have your account number that's on the coupon, you can put that in your account, which I, that's how I do my payments. And then I check it off and tell them to send it, and it goes.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good information. So how are the association bank accounts set up? I know it's in the association's name, but what else? And are board members signers on the account?
Well, when we take over a new association, of course, the association already has existing accounts. They may be with BB&T already. That is our main bank that we do business with. Or they could have other banks. Well, we typically have them switch over to BB&T if they're not with them. So what we do
Why
is...
Why are you partial to BB&T?
My boss is.
Good answer.
Very good answer.
Ameritech is.
So the girl, there's a certain girl in accounting that sets up all the new accounts. So what happens is they set up an operating account and a reserve account.
Okay.
And that is set up with board members' signatures. You know, we have all the new signatures, and we have to submit that along with a check to get it going. And they can have double signatures on their checks, or they could have just one signature.
Well, that's very interesting. All right, folks. Well, listen, we're going to take a quick commercial break. Please keep listening. We'll be back in 1-2 minutes, I promise.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Affordable Work Orders Incorporated is based out of Palm Harbor, Florida, and services all the surrounding areas. Affordable Work Orders provides excellent handyman services such as janitorial, maintenance, pressure cleaning, landscape care for common areas in HOAs and condominium communities, and much, much more. With great reviews and friendly service, you can depend on Affordable Work Orders to get the job done right the first time. Our number is 727-709-4895 or visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/Affordable Work Orders, Inc.
Mitchell Insurance Services has been providing superior insurance coverage and outstanding customer service since 1971. We specialize in the unique insurance needs of community associations and homeowners associations all across the state of Florida. Contact us today for a free policy assessment to ensure you have the right coverage and are getting the credits that you deserve. Contact us today at 727-360-8190 or visit us online at mitchellinsurancefl.com. Insuring your community since 1971.
Don't stress it. Call Innovative Roofing. We handle all projects from minor repairs to re-roofing, as well as new installations. We pride ourselves for both quality and reliability, working hard to build lasting relationships with our clients. Innovative Roofing, building a reputation for being a company who makes a difference. Give us a call today, 813-909-0400. Again, that number is 813-909-0400.
Allegiance Development is a family-owned and operated business offering quality general contracting services in the greater Tampa Bay area. We offer a wide range of services including commercial and residential construction, permitting, community stormwater management and repair, asphalt paving and maintenance, concrete restoration, disaster recovery, and much more. Our commitment and dedication applies to all projects, large or small. We have the expertise to offer fast and affordable solutions for all of your general contracting needs. Feel free to contact us at 727-584-1370 or visit our website at allegiancedevelopment.us.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Welcome back, folks, to the Ameritech Connection. And for those of you just tuning in, our guest today is the Ameritech's Director of Human Resources, Janice Sophia. And we're talking all about the Ameritech's internal operations and the budget process for our community associations. I know just before the break, Janice, we were talking about bank accounts. So a quick question for you, because I know we got some callers on hold, right, Bobby?
Correct.
What about the additional accounts? You know, I mean, there's reserve funds, obviously, for these associations. So talk a little bit about, so our listeners can understand, how the additional accounts that are set up for these community associations that we manage.
Okay. Of course, there's additional accounts that the communities have had, you know, over the years. We don't interrupt those. We carry them over, and they're on our budget, our balance sheet. And hopefully we have the mature date, and once they come up for maturity, we let the board know, and they can shop around if they want, or just renew with the same bank.
And those
it doesn't
matter. And those are the accounts that hold all of the association's
reserves
funds,
correct?
Right. Okay.
Yep.
Okay, Bobby, I think since we've got a couple people online, let's take a caller.
Sure. First, we're going to go to Kim.
Hi, Kim. Welcome to the Ameritech Connection. What's your question?
Just want to know, am I entitled to a financial statement if I request it?
Hi, Kim. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Okay. Of course, you're entitled to a financial statement. Every homeowner can have one, is entitled to one. Every year, we send out a letter letting the homeowners know that the year before's financial statement is ready and it's available, and all you have to do is call in or send a letter asking for one, or anytime during the year. If you want to see, have a copy of the monthly financial statement, we'll be glad to give you one. I think that might be a charge, though.
Now that, but Janice,
how long does that take to prepare?
Well, the CPA does that.
And that's for the year-end statement, correct?
The year-end statement, right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's a statutory obligation that the association has to provide a financial statement to the owners that request it, correct, Janice?
Well, they have to be notified within 120 days after the year-end.
Okay, that's for the year-end statement. But
right.
Let's say they just want any other type of records for the community.
Well, there's...
You know, they put a letter in and say, like, I want a copy of the financial statement. I mean, I know the board can charge them.
Yes.
But
I'm not sure if it's 10 days. I mean, there is a time limit. And if they don't
comply
with that, they could be fined.
Right.
Yes.
So, Kim, you are entitled to a financial statement along with a year-end statement and, frankly, any other records that you might request to inspect on behalf of the association, since you are an owner and those funds, in essence, are kind of yours as well.
Yeah, so just put that request in writing, though.
Oh, perfect.
Okay, have we answered all your questions?
You have. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much for calling us.
Okay.
Have a good night.
Bye now.
Bye. All right, we've got another caller on the line.
Yes, we do. We are going to go to Janet now.
We got them lined up, don't we, Bobby?
We sure do.
Hi, Janet. Welcome to the Ameritech Connection.
How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good.
Good. What's your question tonight?
Well, I live in a community, an HOA, and I did not receive my coupon book in the mail, and I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do. I have called my management company, and supposedly they have sent me a new one 3 times now, and I still don't have one.
Well, okay, Janice.
That doesn't sound too good. So obviously you're probably a couple of months behind. Hopefully, they told you to send in a check to them until you receive your coupon book. But the first thing I would do is make sure that we have your correct address. Maybe that's what's happening. It's going to a up north address, or you've moved within the past year, and it's going to the wrong address each time.
Or you just don't have Ameritech as your management company.
That's true. And the management company you have is incompetent, so you should get on the board and hire us as your management company.
And we'll make sure you get your coupon book.
That's right.
Yes.
That's
there
right.
we go.
That's right, Mike. All right. Janet.
All right. So should I just keep making my payments to the company and sending them?
I would, because I don't want to, you don't want to be leaned and, have late fees on top of that. So you know that it's due, you know, and you know, probably know the amount that's due. So to be safe, I would, you know, send in a check right to the management company until you get your coupon book.
All right,
Janet.
Well, Janet, thank you. We appreciate you calling.
Thanks, all Janet.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
All right, Bobby, who else do we have on the line?
We have Sarah now.
Hey, Sarah, welcome to the Ameritech Connection. What's your call? What's your question?
Well, my question is, where I live, I think we should fully fund the reserves, but the board doesn't, and the board usually, you know, pushes to not fully fund, so then we end up having special assessments. Can anything be done to avoid that?
That's an interesting question, Janice.
Yeah.
Well, the reason why the board's probably not fully funding is because the maintenance fees would be too high. And so, you know, they are thinking of the homeowners in that aspect, but they're not thinking of the long-term effect of it. Maybe if, you know, if they listen to the homeowners, maybe you could suggest, you know, we'll go up a little bit at a time and see if they do that. Or if not, you know, put your name in and run for the board. Get on the board
if...
That's what everybody says. But
Sarah, you got to participate if you want to make a change and a difference, you know?
You know, because
I guess you're right.
You know, the board, you know, can listen to you, but they don't necessarily have to act. So this way, if you get on the board, then, you know, you have a voice and you can, you know, make suggestions, or maybe a couple other board members would go along with you.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Sarah.
Thank you.
Good luck. Thanks for calling.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, Janice, does the FDIC limits ever come into play?
Yes, of course.
What is FDIC stand for?
Well, you know, you don't want to have all your money in one basket. So the limit...
It's kind of like that egg thing.
Yes. You don't want to have too many eggs.
In one basket.
The amount is $250,000.
Okay.
So if you have over $250,000 in one bank, you might want to take some of that out and start another account. Because if they should go belly up, you know, you're risking your money.
Well, the federal government only insures up to $250,000.
Right.
So just to kind of walk it through, you know, each month the association's transferring its reserve funds from the operating account into that money market account we talked about earlier,
right?
So when that money market account starts to exceed $250,000, that's when you would recommend that...
Well, the accountant should make the manager aware of it, and the manager should tell the board, point it out, and give them, you know, an option. Okay,
and,
you know, we need to open up another account. You know, we're at our limits, and, you know, let's take it someplace else and start.
Right, and we make recommendations as to where those accounts should be.
And
I mean, there's some research that goes into that.
Yep,
and
interest rates, we tell them who's given what interest.
Right, and they could technically take the whole $250,000 if they didn't need the funds for any capital improvements or any reserve requirements. Or any, you know, capital maintenance items that were coming up, and invest it into a CD.
Right.
And get a higher interest rate and a higher return.
Especially if they were really, you know, flush and, you know, nothing, no capital expense was coming up.
Right.
What is excess funds? Let's talk a little bit about excess funds, since we're talking about all this $250, all this money.
Well, excess funds is money that is left over.
That's good. I'm glad to know it's money that's left over.
That's something I never have, by the way.
Neither does Bobby. I mean,
no,
you can tell.
Nope.
That you have, that you predicted for the year before that you needed to spend in the upcoming year, but you didn't need it. You didn't spend it.
Mm-hmm.
So you could have, you know, a couple hundred dollars left over. You could have $10,000 left over. Well, at the end of the year, that automatically rolls into your operating account. If the reserves were shy, or, you know, they weren't fully funding or knew something was coming up, the board could request that this money go into the reserve account and make that more plush.
But in a perfect world, let's say hypothetically the board... And I'll just use a number. Their assessments were $250,000. They were fully funded. They covered all the expenses. And they only spent, theoretically, say, $200,000. Now, they've got a $50,000 surplus.
Okay, if they definitely have that money, they didn't use it, and they don't need it for their reserves, they could use prior year surplus on the next budget and lower the fees.
Okay, so they would lower the fees in essence, but would they ever, in any case, write a check back to the individual homeowners?
No. I mean, there is a slight possibility that they could, but it's not recommended because you'd have to take the delinquencies into effect. It's too complicated. So the best thing scenario to do is lower the fees.
Lower the fees. Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
And then it helps everybody.
I see Bobby kind of squinting at me. Do you got a caller on the line, Bobby?
I do. I have Bob on the line.
Hey, Bob, welcome to the Ameritech Connection. You're on the air. What's your question?
Hey, Mike. My wife, for our association fee, she usually makes the checkout to the management company. And I'm wondering, is that correct, or shouldn't that be made out to the association?
Yes.
What happens with that money that, yeah, you know, that we pay in?
Okay, that's the money for your association to pay their bills. So the check should be made out to the name of your association, not to the management company. It's not for us. It's going into your association's account to pay for the bills.
But, Bob, even if you did make it out, let's say we were your management company and you made it out to us, to Ameritech. We have what's called cross-deposit capability. So if it's made out to Ameritech, we are not going to deposit and commingle those funds into an Ameritech account. It's still going to go into the association's account, even though it's made payable to Ameritech. But to keep things from getting fouled up and to keep things from proper accounting, as Janice said, it should be made out to the name of your association. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we have a hard time when we get a check, too, tracking what community it is. I mean, we have over 200 communities and 25,000 units under management. So it's kind of difficult for us to determine what property it goes to.
Especially if they live away.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Their away address is on the check.
Right.
So. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So, it sounds like it made it to the right place then. So, like, I wasn't funding somebody's vacation or something.
Yeah,
no. No, you were not.
Certainly not mine.
But tell her to stop making it out to the association.
All right. Well, thank you for your time. Thank you.
Hey, right, Bob. Thanks so much for calling in.
Okay, Janice, I have a question for you. What about, we were talking about the interest and the reserves and stuff. How is that applied to the budget? Is it taken into consideration, that interest?
Yes. The interest, of course, is money that you earn.
Right.
You know, for keeping your money in the banks.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, it's not very much nowadays.
Yeah.
Many years ago, you used to make a lot of money.
It depends now. If it's $250,000, right, Bobby? I mean, you'd like
the
interest.
You should know, right?
Sure.
It's something. Like, it's something more than what you put in.
But like 4%, 5%? I mean, what's the interest rates out there right now?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, you don't know?
I was going to say 1%.
No, it's more than 1%. It's about 4%. So.
Okay, well, that's better than it was. But anyways, no, these are posted towards the actual reserve item. So you have $20,000 into painting, and that interest would go towards that reserve item.
So just to walk it through again, if we had $100,000 in the bank.
You and your $100,000. Right.
Well, I'm trying to keep it simple, you know, right? I mean,
let's talk about my bank account. Okay, it'll be a different number.
That's right, big round number. So you got $100,000 in your bank, and you got paving, painting, roofing, and I don't know. How about the seawalls?
Pool.
All right, pool. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for that, Janice. And you got pool. So, and they're each $25,000.
Oh, don't make me multiply it out in my head.
She needs that calculator that we talked about.
She's used to a calculator, right? But anyways, just to keep it simple, that total amount of interest is allocated equally to each of those account items.
Reserve,
right.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. That's the way I understood it to be. Okay.
Bobby, we're going to take one more caller before we go to a break.
Actually, that was all we had.
That was all we had. Okay. All right.
All right. Let me just ask one quick question then before we take that break. How important is properly budgeting for a community association? I mean, boards should be fiscally be responsible, but you know, we know it's important. But you know, what's your
experience
in
that? Since you're the budget queen of Ameritech, right?
Yes, I am. well, everyone likes to keep the maintenance fees the same. You know, we don't. We try not to go up because of, you know,
where
everybody's
no one's happy.
On a budget, you know, fixed income and so forth. You have to be realistic. You have to, if you're running short already this year and you're not going up on your fees, there's something wrong there. You know, you're not doing your fiduciary duty to collect money that is needed. And you don't want to collect way too much, like have $100,000 or $10,000 left over, because then that's not doing a correct budget either. That's only, you know, wild guessing. But we try to come as close as we can. And, you know, the contracts, of course, are easy to budget. It's just the unknown items, the water, the sewer, the legal. You know, you could have a big legal issue that might come up.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. Thank you for that. All right. Let's take a quick 2-minute commercial break. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
When you need legal help, you want a lawyer you can trust, someone with experience, knowledge, wisdom, and compassion. At Pilk & Associates, we pride ourselves in providing you with the personal attention and consideration your legal issues deserve. We can help plan long-term goals for your family or your business and handle unexpected legal issues that arise suddenly. We're a full-service law firm with nearly 3 decades of legal experience. We are dedicated to serving your legal needs. Please call for a free consultation at 813-759-3285 or feel free to email us at law@pilka.com. We look forward to serving your legal needs.
Sun Paints and Coatings is your hometown paint store, family owned and operated for over 40 years. Sun Paints has 6 locations throughout Hillsboro, Pinellas, and Pasco counties. Sun Paints and Coatings manufactures Daico brand paints in Tampa and is an authorized distributor of Benjamin Moore and PPG paints. Sun Paints and Coatings works closely with property management companies, HOAs, condo associations, and individual homeowners, helping ensure a great project. Trust the experts at Sun Paints and Coatings. Sun Paints is the best paint under the sun. Visit us at sunpaintsandcoatings.com.
Hey, Frank, thanks for inviting us to the pool party.
Hey! What is that?
Oh, my pool? Yeah, I'm going for a natural Florida wildlife kind of thing.
Frank, no, man, you gotta call Gulfside Pools.
Daddy, watch me!
Jimmy, stop playing on that alligator.
Oh, it's not that bad.
Frank, it's bad. Gulfside does pool cleaning and repairs for commercial or residential. With over 50 years experience, they'll make your pool look, well, like a pool again. Call 813-626-3539. 813-626-3539. Or go to their website, gulfsidepools.com.
Do you serve on the board of a condominium association? Or how about a homeowners association? Here's a well-known fact. Page & Company are probably the best accounting firm for community associations. With over 18 years of experience specializing in audits, reviews, compilations, and tax returns, you must get a quote from Page & Company for your association's financial reporting requirements. So give Page & Company Certified Public Accountants a call at 727-726-2785. Get the personal service you deserve.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Ameritech Connection. And for those of you just tuning in, our guest today is Ameritech's Director of Human Resources, Janice Sophia. And we're talking about Ameritech's internal operations for the employees and our community associations. But first, I think, Bobby, we have a caller on the line.
We do. We have Carrie on the line.
Carrie, hey, Carrie, welcome to the Ameritech Connection. You're on the air. What's your question?
Oh, thank you. I understand that my association is going to have a surplus, and I know that you were touching on it a little while ago, but I think that I would deserve to have some money come back rather than lowering my fees.
What do you think, Janice?
Well, you know, everybody likes to get money back, but is it a good idea? No, not really, because if you have money left over, that'll start paying your January invoices, you know, until the money for the new year starts coming in.
So it gives them a little extra capital.
Right, right. So you're not holding invoices and end up being, you know, having late fees and all that. And, you know, and if the homeowner got money back, I mean, it would be too complicated, and it probably wouldn't amount to much.
And, Carrie, also the problem with returning money to homeowners is there are some homeowners out there that are delinquent, they're liened, you know, they're in collection, and to try to refund that money might affect the litigation that's going on. So it's really not a good idea for the association. We never recommend it, and how we actually do that is we carry it over till next year, and we effect a reduction in the maintenance fees if ultimately, you know, we truly have a surplus and there's no other, you know, place we can place that money.
Yeah, I mean, if the fees are only going to go down $1 or, you know, $2, I mean, we just let it roll over. But if there's a substantial amount, then we'd reduce the fees, you know, to please everybody.
I think I understand. Okay, I think I understand a little clearer.
All right, well, that's good.
I can understand that.
All right, Carrie.
All right, thank you.
Well, I'm glad you called, and hopefully we answered your questions. Thanks so much for calling.
Yeah, you did. You set it up. Yes, you did.
All right, thank you. Bye.
Thanks, Carrie. Okay, folks, let me ask you this, Janice. I know you do all of the annual meeting notices and budget adoption meeting notices. How does that process work?
Well, every association has to have an annual meeting and a budget meeting. The budget meeting to adopt the new budget. The annual meeting to elect new directors. Everybody, you know, has a vote on who they want running their association. It's an opportunity for if they feel that the board's not doing a good job, to either get on the board themselves at that time, or if someone else is running that they feel more confident with, to elect to vote for them and try to get them in and make some good choices.
Right, and a lot of times those annual meetings and budget adoption notices kind of go out in one mailing, correct?
Yes, if the meeting's together, which we try to encourage because they save on mailing costs.
Right.
And then it's hard to get quorums, and if you have one meeting for the both, you're more apt to get a quorum. And then, of course, there are deadlines to get these mailings out. A condo with an annual meeting has two notices. The first notice has to get out in 60 days. That's for the notice of intent to run for the board. And then the second notice goes out within 2 weeks before the meeting.
And that's for a condo, correct?
That's for a condo. HOA is 2 weeks. But again, I have to say that you have to check the documents because there are some associations that insist on a 30-day notice.
Okay, so there is a notice requirement then when it comes to adopting a budget?
Two weeks. Yeah, the budget is strictly 2 weeks. Annual could be 30 days, depending on documents.
Okay. Now, during that meeting, you know, there are some, and we talked a little bit about this, there are some associations that like to waive fully funding the reserves. How does that work at the meeting? I mean, is that something the unit owners have to vote on, or how does that work?
Okay, the waiving of the fully funding reserves means, as I spoke earlier, that you need $10,000 a year to fund for painting, but the board only voted to put $5,000 in. So that is considered a partially funded budget. Now, they do this, but in actuality, the membership has to vote for the approval, and probably to keep the fees down. So they want to get a quorum. They have to get a quorum of the membership to pass this partially funded. But it could result in a special assessment down the road.
So, I mean, if they're not fully funding, obviously, they have to anticipate sooner or later they're going to have a special assessment in order to...
Most likely, unless they move before that happens.
Well, yeah. I mean, there are a lot of thought with some of these retirement communities. They always say, well, I'm going to be dead in 30 years. Why should I fund this?
Right, exactly. That is the thought process. So if they...
Which is really not a sound fiscal... process, right?
But if it's happened over all the years, it's too late to try, you know, it's difficult to catch up.
Right.
So what if there isn't a quorum? Can they still waive fully funding?
No, on the budget, no. They definitely need that quorum.
Okay.
And if they don't reach it, then the fully funded amount happens.
So I'm going to play my little scenario here, okay? So if there's 100, it's a 100-unit complex. I like the round numbers, Bobby.
They're great. They're wonderful.
I mean, I'm trying to keep things simple. All right?
$100 checks and everything. Things like that.
So you got 100 units out there, and the quorum would be on 100 units, a simple majority, which would be 51, correct?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So if 51 don't show up, you don't have a quorum.
Right.
Now, 51 show up, how many people does it take to pass?
That's 51 homeowners.
51 homeowners show up. How long does it take before, or how many people does it take to pass the waiving of the fully funded reserves?
51.
51% of the 51.
They could mail in.
Did you follow that? It's 51% of the 51 of 100.
I didn't even need a calculator.
And they can mail in their proxy also. They don't have to show up. You know, there's a proxy that goes with the mailing, and they have the option to just mail that in with their vote. Yes, I vote to waive fully funding, and you're considered part of the quorum.
So, and that's it then, right?
That's it.
Just that simple. All right, I'm going to give you a quick question before we run off to a break here. And I know this is a simple question, but I'm going to ask it anyways, because not everybody is fully aware of accounting policies and procedures. So what's the difference between a calendar period versus a fiscal period?
Well, there's a key word there, calendar period. Mm-hmm. Calendar period means January 1st through December 31st. Right. A fiscal period means that your fiscal year, calendar year, in the other instance, but fiscal is like, it could be March 1st through February 28th. But this is all in your documents, whether when the fiscal year starts.
Interesting.
Okay, thank you, Janice, for that. Next week, we have Mike Hall with Golfside Pool and Spa. And we're going to talk about the do's and don'ts on pool cleaning, chlorine pools versus saltwater pools. And is there such a thing as the blue dye to deter someone from peeing in the pool? What about pool repairs or remarsiding, cool decking versus pavers? That and much more next week on the Ameritech Connection. Keep listening. We will be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Ameritech Community Management is a local management company servicing the Tampa Bay area for over 20 years. We are proud of our company and continue to provide professional and courteous service to our clients. After 20 years, we still manage our very first community association. If you are in need of a top-notch community management team for your property, give us a call today, 727-726-8000. That's 727-726-8000. Or visit our website at ameritechcompanies.com.
Hey, you.
Who, me?
Not you, the hot one.
Hi, what can I do for you?
Aren't you that lady that's on that radio show called the Ameritech Connection?
Why, yes, I am. We're live every Thursday at 5 p.m. on Tan Talk Radio Network. Right, Mike?
That's right, Sharon. Live in a condo or homeowners association? Do you have issues? How about questions? We cover it all and more. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m.
What time again?
That's 5 p.m. every Thursday on Tan Talk Radio Network, 1340 a.m. and 106.1 FM.
Well, that wraps up our show for today. Sharon and I both would like to thank you so much for tuning in. And remember, without you, Ameritech has no connection.
That's so true. And we also appreciate all the feedback and all the listeners that take the time to call in and ask the questions. So don't forget, every Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m., it's the Ameritech Connection on the Tan Talk Radio Network, 1340 a.m. and 106.1 FM.
And if you're looking for a good property management company, look no further. Give us a call at Ameritech. I promise you, you won't be sorry. We would greatly appreciate the opportunity to become your next property management company.
So don't forget, every Thursday between 5 and 6 p.m., it's the Ameritech Connection.
Thanks, everybody. We'll talk again next week.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City, Tampa Bay WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.